One is from the New Old Testament, which is Exodus 20, 16. I hope it's in the... No, it's not in the... All right, if you open your Bibles, a few Bibles, you will see the Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. The second one is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read our first text. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. This is what the Lord says, Exodus 20, 16. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when here is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning. Would you please speak to us and help us to understand your holy word so that we will humbly worship you. We will accept your word and that we will live up to your teaching from the Bible. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been a great journey for New Hope Church, I guess, for us all about to learn about the Ten Commandments. Today is the ninth one. We have come to the ninth commandment. It says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbors. Exodus 20, verse 16. Now, many people understand this commandment as simply as, don't lie. Please don't lie. And I want to ask you, kids, children, young people, do you lie? Do you lie to your parents? Do you like your teachers? Now, understanding the ninth commandment as don't lie is not wrong. But it's more right to say for us, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. It's much better. As you can see from the text, it is more emphasis on relationship. Our relationship with our neighbors and church members, brothers and sisters, and relationship in the community where we live in. And it talks about how we wisely use our tongues too. We're living in a very independent world in our individualized culture in the United States. I see as a Korean pastor. We say, we don't bother you, we don't bother others, and then we expect, hey, don't bother me. We don't like any people bothering us. But however, the culture where the Israelites lived 1,000 years ago, it was very different than that of ours right now. They cared. They cared for one another, and they shared many things together. And the Israelites was a nation, we call them nation, but it should be better for us to say, look at them as a community. In any type of community, if you look at any type of community in context, probably the most important thing that we can think about is relationship with our neighbors and friends. You and me, we will be categorized as a good or bad people depending on our relationship to our neighbors. We must respect elderly people and women. We must respect someone sitting on the throne and authority. And we have to take care of our society. Then we will get respect and we'll be categorized as good people. Now, in order to make a community healthy and strong, the Israelites needed a system, a safeguard, can say, along with the other commandments, the ninth commandment provides you and me and the Israelites the system. Now, God gives this commandment as a safeguard for the community to protect our relationship to one another, such as protecting neighbors' honor and their reputation and their life. Therefore, we can say that one of the foundational teachings from the ninth commandment is to bring justice into the world, to bring justice in our lives. Now, oftentimes we expect justice when we go to the court, right? And however, the Israelite was a little bit different. The judges were not in the courtroom, but they usually sat at the town gate to hear people's cases and to meet their witnesses, talk with the people. Now, because of the reason, many Israelites at the time were reminded of practicing justice in their lives at the town gate every day. Now, false testimonies and the lying witnesses were great dangers to their community, for the whole Israelites community, so they warned. Therefore, God commanded them, "My people, you have to practice justice. Do not give false testimony against your neighbors." Or we can say, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Let's think about the following question. Do you think that God expects you and me to practice justice in our life in general? Yes, I agree. In our relationship with our sisters, brothers in the Lord, and our neighbors at work or home, wherever, God expects you to practice justice. But here, not only God wants you and me to practice justice in our life, but He also demands, He pushes, He commands us to bring His justice to the world. As we are the people of God who are justified by faith in Christ Jesus Christ, we know that we have to do the same thing. We know that the world is filled with injustice and the ugliness of unrighteousness. Everyone knows that something is wrong in this sinful world. Something is not right. Then God reminds you and me with the ninth commandment today to bring His justice, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to the world. Then my question is, do we really bring justice to the world? Or to your relationship with your neighbors, one another? This is what I read during my study for the ninth commandment. It is very interesting. I didn't write that one, but this is book says, theologian says, Dauma, I'm reading the book about 10 commandments written by Dauma, and he says, nowadays, people are no longer neighbors to each other. Then what? Instead, they become wolves preying upon one another, trying to find someone to hurt and damage, to destroy, like wolves finding their food. Based on the ninth commandment, I want to invite you to think about the following question all the time with me during my service. What is wrong with us? Now, we have learned that all the commandments are basically talking about the relationship. The first half of the commandments are all about the relationship with God. We know that already. And the second half of the commandments, 10 commandments, talks about our relationship with our neighbors. Now, the ninth commandment comes to us more specifically today, how we can build our relationship with our neighbors. Very strong and healthy relationship. Very simple and straightforward from God. God says, please, do not give any false testimony against your neighbors. Now, in your relationship with your neighbors, your friends, tell nothing but the truth. There are many things we can talk about related to the ninth commandment, but yet I have come to you here with three practical things based on the study, my study on the ninth commandment. First, we must remember that we should respect our neighbor's reputation. That is all about the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment clearly teaches you and me about neighbor's reputation, their name brand. In order to protect our community, your society, in order to bring justice, God's justice to the world, we must not ruin our neighbor's reputation. No. The Dhamma says the ninth commandment aims at preserving reputation, the good name of God's people. Now, I'm pretty sure that the same is true for all of us. You know, we are called to be protecting our neighbor's reputation today. And good name. They're good names, aren't we? But the sad thing is this. We oftentimes forget this simple principle, protecting our brother's sister's reputation. We are so sensitive to on protecting our own reputation, but yet we are so ignorant of preserving our neighbor's reputation. What is wrong with us? We ruin our neighbor's reputation by passing around wrong information about them, falsely testifying about them, and intentionally hurting their reputation with our own benefits, for our own benefits. Now here, the best tools we see that we use to destroy our neighbor's reputation are backbiting and gossiping that we read from the Heidelberg Catechism. And literally, no one is free and immune from these temptations, backbiting and gossip. That's fun business. And as someone clearly teaches you and me that we should not walk in a counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seats of mockers. But unfortunately, oftentimes, we find ourselves sitting with a group of people in the seat of mockers, don't we? Backbiting and gossip means a lot to us and all the people in the world. It's everywhere. Throughout human history, these are one of the best Satan's tactics to destroy you and me, our community, our relationship one another. Our community and church, family and society get easily attacked and destroyed because of gossip and backbiting. There's no sense of respect or love in protecting our friends and one another, but hurting our neighbor's reputation, and an anger remained. Only anger remained when backbiting and gossip creep into our lives. We know that we are saved by God's grace, God's mercy. But, you know, we are also cheapening God's grace every day. When we get poisoned by Satan's scheme, destroying our neighbor's reputation. We are intentionally, unintentionally, participating in this fun business every day. Maybe you have overheard that people are talking about you, hurting your reputation, your name brand, hurting your feeling, and spreading lies about you. Right? This is my personal story. When I went to Alaska, now it turned to almost 7 years, and Trinity Christian Reform Church in Anchorage, Alaska, I heard that from Michigan. I was kicked out of Calvin's seminary because all grades were so poor, I can't stay at Calvin's seminary anymore. So James was kicked out of Calvin's seminary. I heard it so many times. Why? Why you guys are talking about me? I'm not famous. I was so angry. I was at Alaska doing my ministry. I was so angry about the false accusations. Although I know that it was not true, I didn't want to fight and to prove that it was wrong. But it really hurt me and my family. Maybe Jenny thought, are you sure you're a good student? Have you ever been in that same situation in your life? You didn't do anything wrong. You just did what you do. But all of a sudden, all the people and pointing their fingers at you, you get is all the blame from people. You heard that people are purposely hurting your reputation. Now, I'm sure that we all have the same painful experience at some point of our lives. Sometimes gossip and backbiting can be sugar-coated. This is something people saying, hey, I know. I think Pastor James is a good guy. He's a good person. But I don't understand why he did that. Or people say, I'm talking about Pastor James, but he has his good points too. That's sometimes our conversation goes that direction. Sounds familiar, right? The truth is this. We love to talk about our neighbor's mistakes and faults and shortcomings. This is what I found from my study. The quote, it is a universal phenomenon that we would rather hear something bad about our neighbor than something good. And something dirty always sticks long after the conversation has died. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with the computer? Here are some biblical texts that I found from the Bible. From the Bible says about gossip. Proverbs chapter 11 and 16 and 18. The first one is, all three, a gossip betrays a confidence. The second one, 16:28, a gossip separates close friends. Right? And 18 in verse 8. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to men's inmost parts. Making false testimonies about our neighbors, spreading bad words about our friends, telling untruthful stories that we create about our friends and neighbors, and twisting the truth of our neighbors are surely sins before God. By doing that, participating in that fun business we enjoy, but we break the teaching of the scripture, the ninth commandment. By doing that, we are falling into Satan's trap. Who is going to destroy you and us? Everybody. Now, who is the father of lie? John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because he's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Isn't it a striking statement for you? The father of lies. Who is your father? Are we the children of God? Or is it our job to tell the truth? What is wrong with us? Why? We claim ourselves like, okay, oh, look at this verse, then we are, oh, children of lie. But committing ourselves to break the ninth commandment. Talking about our neighbors is not always categorized as backbiting or gossip. We can certainly talk about people that we love, we truly care. We can share our concerns and prayer requests and thoughts about our brothers and sisters through our prayers and words of encouragement. But however, we must be careful not to cross the line. Once we begin focusing on destroying our neighbor's reputation, our conversation becomes unfruitful and destructive. And we will be trapped by Satan's scheme. The second point, we must not judge our neighbors. The ninth commandment teaches you and me about not judging our neighbors quickly, rashly. It is not right for us to judge people and their mistakes without further investigation. We have to hear from them. However, unfortunately, it is our tendency. It's our tendency. We're sinners before God to quickly and harshly judge people and based on their mistakes and faults. And sometimes we judge people because we simply disagree with them. It is interesting to see that no one wants to be judged. I don't want to be judged. But everyone wants to judge others. No one wants to admit his or her mistakes. But everyone quickly jumping into the criticism and criticize neighbors' small mistakes and their differences. We are waiting for God's mercy and every day His love for our sins, forgiving our sins and mistakes. Yet, we see that we wanted to see fire and brimstone from heaven upon the people who hurt and the people's sin. We know that Jonah did it. Jonah wanted to see the destruction of the Nineveh, waiting for God's destruction. Maybe you have done something wrong. You know that is a mistake, small, tiny mistake. But what you get is nothing but harsh judgment and merciless criticism from people. There is no grace and mercy, but brutal criticism about you. We see in our society that people are so quick to judge others with some negative words. Some similar story is found in John chapter 9. When the disciples saw a blind man coming to them, and they asked to Jesus Christ, "Hey, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parent, that he was blind?" John chapter 9, verse 2. Now, by reading particular text, we say, oh, no. This is not right. We can't judge him by saying like that. But to be honest with you, we all know that it is our tendency to judge people like the disciples. When we find people's mistakes, we judge them. At least I have heard so many times people saying like this. Yeah, he is struggling. She is struggling. Yeah, because of their unknown sins, they have to go and ask God's forgiveness. We must remember what the Lord Jesus says. And especially he says, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." By judging quickly and harshly your neighbors, we begin spreading untruthful stories about our neighbors. By judging people, we begin destroying our neighbor's reputation. Therefore, judging is sin before God. Sometimes we judge people because our hearts and minds are preoccupied. We judge people because they are different, just different. And we judge people because we think we are right, you're wrong. Then my question is, what is wrong with us? Do I judge people? If I say, no, you're not going to trust me. Yes, I do. I'm not lying. Sometimes, to be honest with you, I judge people like the disciples. It's struggling. And then I always try to remember myself of what Jesus says from our text. The same measure I use, it will be measured back to me. I taught this one to young people when I was in Alaska. It's like a boomerang. You throw a boomerang, stand up, it'll hit you. Don't judge people. We are not the judges at all, but Jesus Christ is the true judge of all. The time will come and all things will be judged by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14 and 10. It's not our job to judge people. Now probably you already thought about, okay, Pastor James is talking about all about our tongue. You already, you know, got the sense. Now, I already said before beginning of my preaching, it is about our tongue. The ninth commandment is all about how to wisely use our tongue. All bad things are happening and break the ninth commandment because of misuse of our tongue. With our tongue, we argue, we slander people, we judge people, we gossip and curse and blame one another. And the book of James chapter 3 gives us a vivid picture of the word work of our tongue. And in James chapter 3, if you want to open, it's fine. James chapter 3, verse 6, the tongue is also fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body, it corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. It's strange verse 6. James says it is restless evil full of deadly poison in verse 8:2. One time I heard people saying a 3-inch tongue can kill a 6-foot man. And we see that it is actually happening in our lives. We can literally kill people by mercilessly using our tongue. And sometimes we can be the victims. One of the myths that we still believe today is this. We think and believe that we know how to use our tongue, how to control our tongue. And then James comes again. He says in verse 7 and 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed by men. But no one can tame the tongue. Then I want to ask you the same question. what's wrong with us? If our tongue is the problem, if because of that we hurt someone's reputation, because of our tongue we just talking around and gossip people, because of that we just, you know, give hard time to our friends, then what am I supposed to do? Is there any solution? Or no? But I believe that there is a solution. That is the chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 12. And James says, one of the same mouth can praise God and curse. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, from this particular verse, James said, we see that James is throwing a critical question to you and me. He's basically saying, hey, who is living in your heart? I'm not going to talk about your tongue, but who is living in your heart? Who rules your heart right now? You or someone else or something else? As fresh water and salt water cannot flow from the same spring, it is nearly impossible for you and me to curse people, judge people, criticize them, at the same time sitting here to praise God. It's an impossible task. What is wrong with us? Are we missing something in our life? We are missing something in our life. The Heidelberg Catechism question and answer number one. I'd like to read it with you together. Would you please open your gray hymnals? Page number 861. Very basic. The catechism talks about what we are missing. And then it tells about we have to find ourselves, who we are. The question starts like this. I want to read a question. I'd like to encourage you to read, answer with me. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death. My faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life. Amen. Maybe some of us totally forget about our identity. Something that Jesus lives in our heart. Maybe some of you and me and some of us don't care about who is living in our heart. I don't care about. Maybe you can say some of you are still trying to figure out who is the master of my heart. We are missing the true peace, Jesus Christ. Does Jesus rule in your heart? Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law, He rules your heart. We cannot bring justice to the world. We cannot stop talking about someone else. We cannot stop, you know, doing gossiping and backbiting without help from our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot keep the teaching of the Ten Commandments without our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to see that. We cannot keep our relationship strong and healthy without Jesus Christ. He's the one who fulfills the teaching of the law. He's the one who rules you in your heart. He is the truth. And we definitely need Him ruling our heart. The following statement will truly touch our heart if we know that who is controlling our heart. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to confess our sins, our evil tendency to criticize, to judge our people, our neighbors. But at the same time, we pray that would you please help us to see that we are not ours, but our body and soul and life and death, everything is yours. You are our Lord. And help us to see the truth. So that the ninth commandment is not just the letters from the Bible, but the ninth commandment will come to us as a true teaching from the Bible, living in our hearts. And help us, bless us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name.